Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is Prema Bhakti chapter. And the first division, we're discussing about Prema Bhakti and what is the definition of Prema Bhakti. And he was giving some examples of the qualities. He was gave the definition and then, that one of the distinguishing characteristics of Prema is Mamata. Mamata Bhav. Mamata. That you belong to me, mamatwa, you belong to me. Possessiveness, this is a characteristic, we have that characteristic in this world also. If you love someone, and you love someone very dearly, you're attached to them. One feature of love is attachment, but you're also very possessive. They're mine. Hey, why? And Radharani's so possessive of Krishna, that sometimes Krishna, just to play with Radharani, disturb her, Krishna stands like this and he puts his arm around Subal's shoulder, like this, and he starts casting glances at Radharani like this. And Radharani, and Lalita says, Radharani speaks to Lalita, what is he doing? Why is he putting his arm on Subal's shoulder? His arm should be on my shoulder. What is he doing? Because he's so much possessive. She can't tolerate that he can give his love or share himself with anybody else. Hey, this is just his boyfriend, Subal. It's not some other sucky. So it goes to that extent. But hey, what is this? And of course that possessiveness, if people rarely may have that in a material world with some man, woman, or whatever, etc., etc. and they feel like that, then they go a little crazy. When you become possessive, if you love someone so much, you become so possessive of them, you can't tolerate they're with anybody or doing anything with anybody. You become angry, actually you become angry. So this is this mamata. So now, in his systematic explanation of this concept, of this level of prema, this pure love of Godhead, there's 1.4.4. He says that, of course, prema can arise from bhav and from mercy, the causeless mercy of Bhagavan Sri Hari or Radharan Krishna. Bhavoto ti prasadota Sri Hare iti sadvida. Prema for Krishna has two types, arising from bhav and arising from the mercy, the causeless mercy of Krishna. Text 1.4.5. Bhava evantar anganam anusevaya. Aruda parama utkarsham bhava utta parikirtita. This is an example of prema arising from bhav. In other words, we perform sadhana bhakti, and either by sadhana we've come to bhava, by vaidhi sadhana we've come to bhava, or by raganuga sadhana we've come to bhava, or in a very exceptional case, we, without doing any sadhana, we've come to bhava by the mercy of a great devotee, or by Krishna. Or by doing sadhana, again, we've done some sadhana and we receive the mercy of Krishna or a devotee directly and become elevated quickly to bhava. The general course is to execute sadhana bhakti through vaidhi and raganuga and then finally ascend to the level of bhava. So now he's saying, going to prema from bhava, he says, bhava evantar angan. That bhava which reaches the highest excellence by continual service using all the angas is called prema arising from bhava. The angas means, of course, navavidya bhakti, shravanam kirtana vishnu. In other words, we're hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna through vaidhi raganuga, and finally that develops so deeply and our attachment increases so much, our asakti, that asakti evolves and deepens and condenses into bhava. Then the bhava becomes more condensed and manifests as this intense expression of love known as prema. And Jiva Goswami gives a commentary here. He says, bhava antar anganam, anganam anusevaya. Antar angas of seva or bhakti. What does this mean? The term is there, antar. Like we have bahir and antar. Bahir seva or antar seva. He says, antar angas of seva, or the antar angas of bhakti. Antar means internal or inside. These are the inner or esoteric limbs of bhakti, such as Shravanam and Kirtanam, of Krishna at the level of bhava, which are expressions of anubhava or ecstasy for the bhava bhakta, and intensify to produce prema in his heart. So this, we've already discussed this, that for the sadhaka at the level of Vaidhi or Raganuga, he engages in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. It's called an anga of bhakti. It's a practice. It's a limb. It's a practice. It's something we're doing. And when we come to bhava, then the acharyas say it's no longer considered, although it's Shravanam, Kirtanam, you're still chanting Hare Krishna, and you're still meditating, but deeply meditating for a long time, and doing kirtan. But now it's no longer considered sadhana, it's considered anubhav. Anubhav. You're actually expressing your bhav, your love. When you chant, it's love-filled chanting and love-filled smaran. It's full of bhav. And because it's full of bhav, when you engage in that chanting, or engage in that lila smaran or rupa smaran of Krishna, rupa dhyan, then it produces different ecstasies within the body. Tears and trembling and hair standing on end and choking of the voice. These are the secondary symptoms. And then the primary characteristics of bhava, of course, 9, and that we already discussed. So he wants to explain that that's what Rupa Goswami means by antaranga. Now we'll go on to the next verse, 146. And this is an example from the Bhagavatam. He makes a point, and then he explains how, at the level of bhava, when one chants, like we chant as sadhakas, but it's not an expression of our love. It's an expression of our submission to our guru's order, or our pitiable condition of crying for mercy and hoping to get some elevation or purification or relief from distress, etc., etc., all the ways people approach God. And we all know we're basically chanting ultimately to please Krishna and to love Krishna, and this is the best means. But now he states an axiom in Sanskrit that bhava reaches the highest excellence by continual service using all, you know, hearing, chanting, and prema rises from that bhava. Now, as a praman to support his axiom or his Sanskrit statement, he cites the Srimad Bhagavatam, Amalagyanam, Mukhya Praman, Paramahamsa Samhitam. The Paramahamsa Samhitam, the supreme law book for all the Paramahamsas, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the top, at least especially for us. Amalagyanam Puranam. This is from the 11th canto, 11.2.40. It's a very commonly quoted verse in this context of discussing bhav. In every verse book you'll find this verse, Bodhimath or Iskhan or whatever. Evam vratasva priyanama kirtya jat anarago druta chitta uche hasatyato roditi roti gayati unmadavan rityati lokabhaya. So anubhavas, Jiva Goswami says that at the level of bhava, when one is hearing and chanting and remembering, it's not sadhana, it's not practice, it's called anubhavas. Anubhavas, these are emotional outbursts, or emotional, these are expressions of the uprising of feelings and emotions in the heart. The bhav, the deep bhav in our heart for Krishna becomes disturbed, and it erupts like a volcano sometimes erupts, and all this stuff comes out, lava, you know, comes out, this black stuff, and goes down. So what anu means, what follows the bhav, something happens to stimulate the person. And for example, someone's an ordinary person, a material example, and we give him something to stimulate his bhav, a bottle of Johnny Walker. We give him a bottle of whiskey, so he drinks that. Now he's very stimulated, because that alcohol has removed all his inhibitions, and he's, you know, ha ha ha, and he starts singing and dancing and running through the park and not caring for outsiders and acting like a madman. Ha! I'm the prime minister. Ha ha! This, that, all kinds of grand illusions and outpourings of madness and craziness induced by this udipan of whiskey. Johnny Walker. Johnny Walker makes him walk and talk in a crazy way. So that's not exactly an outburst of bhav, but this translation, this verse, having performed his vows according to Vaidhi Bhakti, chanting holy name of his beloved Lord, the devotee develops a sakti or attachment. As his heart melts with ecstatic love, he laughs very loudly, cries or shouts. Sometimes he sings and dances like a madman, for he's indifferent to public opinion. So this person that they're describing is at a level of bhava. And something has stirred his heart. His heart has become stirred. So now he says, his beloved Lord, says, evam brata svapriya nama kirtya, svapriya nam, his own dear name, svapriya nam, his very favorite name of the Lord. He might just start saying, Govinda Damodar Madhav, Govinda Damodar Madhav, Damodar Damodar, like this. Or if his Ishta Devata is Radharani, he might say, Radhika, Radhika, Radhe, Radhe, Shamaju, Shamaju, whatever. And he says, his heart is melting with love, he laughs loudly, he cries, he shouts, he sings, he dances like a madman. So this is an example that when Baba reaches the level of prema, then all these outward expressions, physical expressions that indicate the arousal of his prema in his heart are seen and experienced by him. So now Krishna gives a purport to this whole verse, evam brata supriya nama. He says, the word brata, evam brata, means a person performing vows of sadhana according to the methods discussed herein. He's engaged in sadhana bhakti according to rules and regulations. And then it says, Priya Nama Kirtya. This indicates that Baba has appeared from chanting Krishna's name. Because the word Priya means that Krishna has become very dear to the chanter. And of course, that's our idea, Prem Nam Bhajan. That the Nam Bhajan is the means to come to Baba and Prema. So Priya Nama Kirtya. By Nam Kirti means like karma or karo. Nam Kirti means by doing the name, by chanting the name, Jap and Kirtan. What happens by that? We become dear to Krishna. We become Krishna Priya. Because Krishna likes it. Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita that there's no one more dear to me than one who chants the holy name. And he asks that. He says, Satatam Kirtianto Mam. Always chanting my glories. That means Krishna likes it. And one becomes dear to Krishna by doing that, by chanting his glories. So he becomes so dear that Krishna enters his heart and brings with him his Ladini Shakti and Sanvik Shakti. That Shraddha Devi faith, Shraddha Devi is aspect of bhakti, then Shraddha Devi becomes Baba, the goddess of devotion. He says that the word swa indicates a feeling of possessiveness towards the Lord. The Lord has become one's own object of affection. And then there's the word in the verse, jat anuraga, means intense possessiveness. This is symptom of prema. So he's lokabaya. Baya means he's outside of the lok, outside of the people. He doesn't care about vox populi, what the people think. The outward expressions like weeping, loud laughing and screaming, that etc. by this Premi Bhakta are beyond ordinary human expressions. And such expressions are transcendental. They're not mundane outbursts, which I was giving an example. I was giving an example of mundane outbursts when someone's intoxicated by alcohol, and they may do similar things. They scream and they shout and they cry and they dance around like crazy. That's why they say you can't, it's very difficult to tell a madman from a preemie. It's very difficult to tell the difference between a pagal and a preemie. Pagal means crazy person in Hindi, you know, pagal. Pagal. Is he a preemie or is he a pagal? Or is he a rasik pagal? They have this term also. That someone is totally rasik Vaishnava, relishing ras at a level of bhav or preem, but he's acting in the most unusual, strange way. A little bit crazy. So this is prema. This is the goal. So far, we've been hearing about prema rising from bhav, which is developed or attained or reached by practicing sadhana bhakti. And the principal means of sadhana, at least according to Rupa Goswami, which Rupa Goswami mentions here as his reference verse, is nam bhajan. Evam supriya nam kirtya. It is by nam bhajan one becomes dear to the Lord. And when one becomes dear to the Lord, he becomes dear to all his associates. And when he becomes dear to his associates and his parishas, then they, either Radhika directly or Krishna or Lita Vishaka, Rupa Manjari, etc., they bless one with the bhava bhakti. Vishuddha sattva enters the heart of the sadhaka. Then he attains bhava, then prema. So here he's saying prema is coming from bhava, from sadhana, principally by priyanam kirtya, appeared from the chanting of Krishna's name. Now he gives an example of prema rising from raganuga sadhana. This is 1.4.7-8. This is a quotation from Padma Puran. Napatim kama yet kanchid brahmacharya stita sada tameva murtim jayanti chandra kantir varanana. Then there's text 8. Sri Krishnam gatam gayanti romancho bheda lakshana asmin manvantare snigda Sri Krishna priyavartaya. Prema rising from bhav based on raganuga sadhana is described in Padma Purana. We heard it, Rupa Goswami cited this example before when he's describing bhava about Chandrakanti. She came to bhava. She was a raganuga. So she was a raganuga and she came to bhava by dancing. Now that she's at bhava and she's continuing her bhava, now she's coming to prema. The same example is given. The beautiful face Chandrakanti observed continuous celibacy, brahmacharya stita, sada, varanana, that's a face, a very beautiful face, and continuously meditated only on the form of Krishna. Eva murti dhyan, murti dhyan. She was thinking, and what was she thinking? She's meditating, plus chintata, mantra chintata, this manana. Manana means concentration or thinking. Because you have dhyan, you're just meditating, but is it blank meditation? Is empty? But it should be applied meditation, focused meditation. Okay, meditating on the form, but there should be thinking behind the meditation. There's dhyan and manana. Manana means deep thinking, contemplation. So she may be looking at the form. She's looking at the form of the murti, Shad Thakurji, of Krishna. And she's not thinking, oh, he's black. He's wearing yellow dress. He has a flute. These are very external. These are observations, not really thinking. This is not considered manana. It's also good. It kind of creates some sanskaras in the chitta of Krishna's rupam. It's called rupa sanskara. It creates deep impressions of Krishna's form. To repeatedly feed information. Repeatedly feed information of Krishna's form into your senses, and then it gets registered in your chitta and consciousness. And then it kind of displaces all the materialistic forms that are embedded there for thousands of lifetimes, woman, man, etc., husband, wife, mother. There's some bog sanskaras and the prakriti rup, or the stri rup, or admi rup, man form, woman form. Those forms are deeply embedded in our chitta also. So bhakti bhajan, Bhakti Bhajan, of course, destroys all those, Chaitodharana Marjana removes all those samskaras and false impressions and materialistic rupams and forms from our consciousness. And as we start to invest and inject spiritual forms into our consciousness takes a new shape and becomes spiritual consciousness. And our chitta becomes full of, our consciousness becomes. Now, when we're purified, our consciousness becomes full of Krishna's nam, full of Krishna's form, full of Krishna's qualities and Krishna's pastimes. And that's at bhava. So we have instead of changing from a caterpillar to a butterfly, you know, a little worm becomes a butterfly, our consciousness changes from a caterpillar to a butterfly. It's called a metamorphosis. Metamorph means changing shape. Metamorph. Morph means form or shape. Morphology. So metamorphosis means there's a change, chitta metamorphosis. There's a change of consciousness from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. Namrukun Lila. This Chandrakanti, she was doing Murti Dhyan, but she was also doing Manana. She was meditating on the Murti, Krishna Murti, but then she was thinking. What was she thinking? One should not desire anyone else as a husband. So she was in a Sakivab to some extent. Then Chandrakanti, she sang songs about Krishna, and her hairs were standing at end, and she developed complete affection for Krishna by hearing Krishna Leela. So she was doing Murti Dhyan, meditating on the form. She was doing Manana, intense concentration, and deep thinking about a particular relationship with the Lord and a particular way of loving the Lord. And in addition to that, she was also hearing Krishna Leela in the same line of thought about Braj Leela and the gopis like this. So Jiva Goswami gives a commentary. It's understood that because Chandrakanti meditated only on the deity of Krishna, tam eva murtim dhyayanti, she had already achieved bhava for that deity, which was described earlier. She did not desire anyone else as her husband. Nakamayet means one should not desire any husband for oneself. This indicates a deep feeling of, a feeling of deep possessiveness. Thus, her meditation and her thinking, her manana was such that it indicated, it proved, her line of thinking proved her deep feeling of possessiveness, which is mamatva. And mamatva is one of the characteristics of prema. And one in prema has a strong, very strong sense of possessiveness. That there's no one else in this world. It's Krishna. I mean, I'm a single lady, I'm brahmacharini or whatever, brahmachari, I'm celibate lady. And usually Indian ladies, they have to get married. Most ladies, they grow up to get married. But there's no one else. I can't think of possessing anyone else. I can't think of anyone else but Krishna as my husband. So of course this was not just some random thought, but this is a deep expression of her true mamata bhava for Krishna, which was a byproduct of her actual love of God, prema. So this is, we have some note on this also. The example of Chandrakanti attaining prema caused by bhav, which appeared from her practice of Raghunuga Bhakti in the wake of the Ragatmika Janas of Braja. The example of Chandrakanti illustrates that she displayed many of the nine symptoms of bhava bhakti. Her observance of celibacy, brahmacharya, and lack of desire for anybody else as her husband shows her complete indifference to and distaste for sense enjoyment, which is a sign of bhava, virakti. There are nine symptoms of bhava given in Nectar Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One of the courses, virakti, another is nam sadaruchi, intense taste for chanting the holy name of the Lord, and one is not wasting a moment without being engaged directly in Krishna's service. Another one is love to live in Krishna's land, like this. So that she was celibate and didn't have any interest in marriage and all the sense gratification that type of life brings, showed that she was virakti. Virakti means intense detachment. And then now she's meditating on a deity of Krishna and singing the glories of Krishna. Describes in this verse that proves that Chandrakanti was cultivating antaranga bhakti, the highest bhakti, or nam gana sadaruchi gunakyane asakti. And she was fully absorbed in chanting, hearing, chanting, remembering, basically. And this is, what is antaranga bhakti? Antaranga bhakti is hearing and chanting and remembering. It says antaranga. Anga means limb or practice, internal or mental. And what we might say, well, shravanam, kirtanam, smarana. Okay, smarana, that's the mind, that's internal. And shravanam, that's hearing, that could be internal. But kirtan, or chanting, that seems somewhat external. Because our tongue is engaged, our ears are engaged, and we're audibly making some sound, possibly in kirtan. But But chanting kirtan is also considered antaranga because the chanting is supposed to be thoroughly saturated and mixed with meditation. That chanting is there. It's almost in the background. One is chanting. This is called smarana anga. It's actually an anga smarana. When one does smarana, he's supposed to do smarana along with shravanam and kirtanam. So smarana is mental function, meditation, dhyan, shravana smriti. But that smarana is supposed to be mixed with hearing and chanting. And that hearing and chanting, especially at the level of bhava, is completely considered antaranga. Whereas in the level, like a sadhaka, he may be hearing, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. His mind is flying who knows where. There's just some loud sounds coming out of his mouth, and he's trying to catch those sounds and use those sounds to control his mind to some extent, which is whatever he can do at that level of purity. I know I have to start somewhere. But the level of bhava, the hearing, chanting, remembering is going on, but all three actually become antaranga. They actually all become internal practices to such an extent that advanced devotees, when they're chanting japa, it becomes manasik japa. The japa is going, they're not making any sound. There's nothing audible coming out of their mouth or lips. They're just sitting there. Chanting is going on. They're chanting holy name, full Maha Mantra, and they're meditating deeply on the pastimes. This is the line of bhajan taught by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this text 9, we're just, this basic course, we're covering all the verses one by one. So we've already been, maybe 2 years on this verse-by-verse book. It's slow. Because in Radhakund, as I mentioned before, classes are often given in serial form like this over several years. There have been classes here on the banks of Radhakund by some of the great acharyas for 9 or 10 years on Radharas Sudhaniti and 10 or 12 years on Krishna Karnamrita. It's only for 1 month. It's Kartik month. So we're following that line. We'll give a class now at the end of Kartik, then we'll start again next Kartik wherever we left off. It's like that. Because after this, I will do some other seva. Harer Ati Prasado Yam Sangha Danadir Atmanam. Now, this is a very rare one, but at least we can hear about it and hope against hope that we win the lottery. You know, you buy a lottery ticket, and people, of course, they don't gamble, but some people do. You buy a ticket for 1 rupee, and you're hoping that you'll win the lottery, which means, that they'll pick your number. It has a number on it. If they pick your number, then you win, 10 million rupees. So this is attaining praying by mercy is like winning the Krishna lottery. If somehow your number comes up and he says, hey, you're a number, so-and-so, Yeah, okay, take Krishna prema pradayate. It says, namo mahavananaya Krishna prema pradayate. Lord Chaitanya has come to give Krishna prema. Well, why not me? Why doesn't he give it to me? It says, Krishna prema pradayate. He came, pradaya means to give. And he's giving it, but why am I not getting it? He doesn't see me? He doesn't recognize me? Am I standing in the wrong line? Maybe he's giving it out somewhere else and I'm in the wrong place. Hey, where's he giving it out? He's giving it out everywhere. He's giving it out everywhere. Wherever the holy name is being distributed, he's giving out prema. When he himself was here in Sakshat Darshan, he was touring South India, Lord Chaitanya was wandering here and there all over India, and he was giving out prema. How? What was the principal means? Principal means was the Naam, chanting the name. The holy name and his beautiful form. People were attracted. So the chanting of the Shuddha Naam is not going on anymore? The chanting of Prema Naam is not going on anymore? Certainly it's going on. To such an extent that Lord Chaitanya says, wherever it goes on, I'm there. This is there in Chaitanya Bhagavad. Wherever Shuddha Naam is being chanted, I'm there. I'm personally there. But Nityananda's there. And if he's there, what's he doing? Is he just playing chess or, playing dominoes or something? No, he's Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's distributing Krishna Prema. Otherwise, why would he bother to come to this world? If he enters a Sankirtan party, if there's a Sankirtan party somewhere in Russia or India or Australia or anywhere, he said, wherever devotees are gathered and chanting my pure name, I come there and dance there with Nittai. Have you ever read this? This is there in Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's four places where Lord Chaitanya appears. Wherever Sachimata makes an offering, wherever Raghava Pandit and Damayanti cooks some offering, he comes. And Shiva Sangam, he always appears there. And also anywhere where devotees gather and chant the Shiranam. These are four places where Lord Chaitanya comes. He's not limited. Oh, he left 500 years ago. He can't come back. He's not scheduled to come back. No, he says this. So when he comes, and so therefore, our lottery number can come up anytime. Maybe sometime we're in the kirtan party with some pure devotees, and someone's chanting pure name, and Lord Chaitanya comes there and says, who are all these people here? Acha. They've all gathered around the Shudanam. Okay, Krishna Prema Vrtayate. And then you get Krishna Prema. Otherwise, why does Rupa Goswami bother to even mention it? If it is an impossibility, if it never happens and never can happen, then why waste paper? why even talk about the idea that Prema comes by mercy or Bhava comes by mercy? If it never, ever, ever happens. If it happens once, can it happen again? Yes, obviously. So it's an inducement, it's an encouragement. So it creates intense hankering and seriousness in our own bhajan. Let me qualify myself, or let me position myself, or let me pray and let me cry enough that somehow, like they say, they have an expression, the wheel that makes the most noise gets the oil. You have a wheel, you have some wheels on your car, and if one wheels or some bicycles, you know, making all kinds of noise, oh, it's a little rusty. The bearings need some oil. So then the wheel that squeaks the most gets the oil. There's a phrase like this. Maybe in your language they have also. So all the wheels are going like the door. You're opening doors. One door goes, oh, I have to put oil on that door, on the hinges, you know, so it doesn't make that noise. Or the bird, what is it in the nest of birds? The birdie that sticks its neck out. Oh, oh, oh. You know, when a mother comes with the food, mother bird comes with a worm to feed the babies, baby birdies. Then they're all going, oh, mommy, I want that worm. I want. And one is stretching up so far. And the mother's thinking, which one? Oh, this one's coming further. So she drops the worm in his mouth. Then he becomes the biggest one because he stretches the most. So we should stretch like that. Stretch ourselves out to try to get the mercy of Krishna, mercy of Gauranga. And now, of course, it's Bijan Panchaka and Kartik and all these last days of Kartik. It's a good time to stretch out, increase our devotion, increase our chanting, increase our surrender, increase our offerings to the Lord. So prema arising from the great mercy of the Lord is explained. The great mercy of the Lord is Harer Ati Prasado Yam Sangha Dana. I read that already. The great mercy of Krishna includes such things as the Lord giving his association to the devotee. It's called Ati Prasad, or extreme mercy. And now there's an example. He says that you can get prema by mercy of Krishna. And what does that mean? What is the definition of getting prema by mercy of the Lord? It means that Krishna directly gives his association to devotee. Rupa Goswami is saying, all right, what's the praman? What's the proof? What's the example? Yes, Srimad Bhagavatam. 11th Canto, chapter 12, verse 7. Here's an example of prema, of Krishna prema arising from mercy of the Lord. Te nadita shutigana nupastita mahatma. Avrata tapta tapasa matsangan mam upagata. This is prema arising from the Lord's mercy. Sri Krishna says to Uddhava in Uddhava Gita, 11th canto. Sri Krishna, O Uddhava, Bali Maharaj and other great sages did not read the Vedas to attain me, nor did Bali or other great sages, and the great sages are the Shrutis, the Shrutigan, the Dandakaranya sages and the personified Vedas called the Shrutigan, Shruti, right? Personified Vedas, in 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Bali Maharaj or these great sages, the Shrutigan, they did not read the Vedas to attain me, nor did they associate with great Vedic scholars, nor did they undergo difficult austerities or perform Vedic rituals. They all attain prema bhakti just by being in my company, who am the greatest of the saints. So it also mentions here in the verse the word te nadita shrutigana no pasita mahatmana. It says that the te refers to the yajna patnis. You know who the yajna patnis are? The wives of the yajnic brahmins. That when Krishna and Balaram were hungry, then the coward boys went to the brahmins who were doing a big yajna in Bhatral, which is over near Mathura, down by the, like south of here. Here's the Pagal Baba temple on the outskirts of Braj on the way to Mathura, Bhatral. And the coward boy said, oh, you know, Krishna and Balaram are very hungry. Please give us some fruits. Oh, great Brahmins. I said, they didn't even speak to them. By their expression, they said, get lost. Don't bother us. They didn't even say, get lost. They didn't even say no. They just looked at him like, are you crazy? Go, get away from here. So they went back. And then Krishna said, go ask the wives. So they asked the wives. The coward boys asked the wives. And the wives came running with baskets full of fruits and all kinds of things. So they attained prema by directly associating with Sri Krishna. And before them, Prahlad Maharaj, Vritrasura, and many demons attained Krishna just by his association. In this verse, Krishna describes himself. This is very interesting. Krishna is telling Uddhava, or he's describing himself as a great saint, just as an expression of his polite nature. Krishna's very, he's saying here, he's telling Uddhava, he says that Bali Maharaj and these other great sages, they attain me, they all attain prema just by being in my company, who am the greatest of saints. So Krishna's saying, no pasita mahatma. Pas is like Hindi. Pas, like pasme means nearby. Krishna's saying, mahatma. I'm a mahatma. Krishna's saying, you know, Uddhava, I'm kind of like a mahatma. I'm a kind of a great soul. I'm a great devotee. And Bali Maharaj and these other people. Bali Maharaj, he had association of Vamanadeva. Of course, it's Krishna, Bhagavan Vaman. Vishnu understands the humor of the Lord, as usual. He enters deeply into the heart of the Lord and his devotees and brings out their secrets of their heart, which are usually hidden to most people in the context of the pastime or context of the Leela. But Vishnu has that microscopic ability to enter deeply into the hearts of Krishna and Radha and all the gopis and bring out the most cherished hidden secrets of their hearts and their feelings of their minds, how they feel toward each other. So he's saying that Krishna is describing himself as a great saint just to express his polite nature to Uddhava. So tomorrow we'll continue discussing Bhava Bhakti by the mercy of Srila Rupa Goswami Pada.